Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather before you, we ask that your Spirit can speak to us in our hearts. Prepare our hearts to listen. Prepare our spirit to meet you. We commit this time into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the past, I shared about what is the meaning of life. I remember when I was young, I was always think, hey, what is the meaning of life? And the only one that can answer that question is our Creator, isn't it? Only He can give us the reason, the purpose, the meaning of life. And then I realized, even though I know the meaning of life, I can't live a meaningful life. Why? Because as a sinner, I'm a very self-centered person. I just think of myself. I don't care about God's purpose. I won't care about what's the plan of God. I won't care about Him. I won't care about myself. Even if I know there's a God, God is my servant. He needs to serve me. He needs to help me. So as a sinner, everything is self-centered. I am the king of the universe. So I can't live a meaningful life like that. So life will turn out to be very disappointing, full of sin. Thank God for that, because He knows what our need is. Not just knowing the meaning, but we need a new life. If we look at John 3:16, I think everybody knows John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So in God's mind, He has done something in our life. He gives us eternal life. When we think about eternal life, all I think of is about the time. All I can think about is, that means my mortal life is only short, temporary, but God have pity on me and give me a very, very, very long life. So when I think of eternal life, maybe it means no death. Maybe it means happier life, more blessing. Maybe my life will be filled with peace, joy, or strength. So when I think of eternal life, I'm thinking of something that improves me, makes me feel better. So if you ask me, what is eternal life? Maybe I can only tell you, I won't die. Or maybe I'm happier. So, but what is in God's mind? What is in God's mind? When you ask God, God, can you tell me, why do you give me eternal life? And I think the best person that can give us a definition of eternal life is, actually, I've shared with you before. Can you still remember? What is the purpose of eternal life? Anyone? 2 months ago, around. No one? Can we have a look at John 17:3? Now, this is eternal life. Jesus is giving us a definition. This is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So God gave you and me eternal life. Why? Just to make you happier? No. Just to give you peace? No. It's for us to know God. That means, I used the example like this in the past. We played a game when we were young, using two cups with a string in between, isn't it? When you pull the two cups, and then you can talk to one another, to each other. So the cup is not for holding something anymore. When we think of eternal life, oh, eternal life, more joy, more blessing, more love. Eternal life is, oh, my cup runs over, filled with blessing. No, actually, the eternal life is connecting to God. to know Him. So God gave you us eternal life is for us to know Him. It is not for what sort of life you have. It is about a relationship. I say again, eternal life is about God wants to build up a relationship with each one of us. So, just like to make friends with us. Sometimes, I remember a few weeks ago when we gathered together, we share about last year, 2017, and some shared, oh, God helped me in this way. God helped me through this difficulty. God, I experienced God's grace. That's wonderful. But is that all? Is that about knowing God? Actually, if we look at the Bible, in the books of Kings, in the 2 Kings, remember Prophet Elisha, or he can perform a lot of miracles, helping the kings at that time. The enemies come, the prophets came and give the king some advice so that he can conquer the enemy. But afterwards, what I want to point out is, afterwards, even though he experienced help from our Lord, would that king change? Would he turn to be God-fearing man? We may experience God's grace every day. God helps you through this difficulty. God helps you through difficulties. God helps you get into university. God helps you to get a degree. But does it mean that you were changed by God to a better person? Or does it mean that you were changed to be more God-fearing, God-like person? Does it mean that you become more like Him? You may be born in a Christian family, going to Sunday school when you were young, knowing all about the knowledge about Him, but about Him. Do you experience Him in your life? Do you know Him so much that your life is changed to be more like Him? This is my burden to the young people here. Don't just be satisfied you come every Sunday. Don't just be satisfied you attend the meeting, baptized. Oh, I'm done, I'm finished. No. Do you know God in your life? Does He ever speak to you? Your life has been changed by Him to be more like Him? So I about 2 months ago, I told you a story I make up myself. I wonder if you were here. Apple, Berry and Cherry. Okay? There were 3 girls living somewhere in somewhere. Okay? When they passed through the woods, Dingo attacked them, and they cried, and a man called Fred came to their rescue. And after the rescue, all 3 of them experienced life-changing experience. Apple, oh, I remember the Dingo attack, I remember all the fear. Now my whole life was ruined. All the trauma, all the fear, always come back to her, always have nightmares. After 30, 40, 50 years, still live in fear. Now, that's a life-changing experience, but that's bad, isn't it? For Barry, the second girl, after the incident, some people say, whatever don't kill you makes you stronger, isn't it? So she is that type of person. After that attack, she learned more, equipped herself, and make the best out of her life. She write the books about Dingo attack, attend some courses and change her life, making herself to be a better, happier, richer person. She seems to get more in her life. But is that it? So the third person, Cherry, after the attack, he make friends with Fred. And after making friends with Fred, he realized, hey, Fred was a very wise person. I can learn much from him. And then she shared her difficulties, confrontation with people, and all the unhappiness. And Fred turns out to be a very good mentor of life and helping her through all her difficulties. She became a happier person, and she turns out to be like Fred. When she looked at things in life, her viewpoints change, become more mature, and she became more wise. So that's what I'm talking about. When you came to know the Lord, baptized, good. But I pray that the Lord continue to become your friend. You will know Him and be changed by Him. Let's look at another passage in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 3. But whatever were gains to me, here Paul was sharing, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, it's talk about knowing Christ. But before that, look at, there is a contrast. Gains and lost. It seems that before he came to, in order to have the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, this change of life involves something before that. Step one, there seems to be a change of attitude, change of idea, change of mind, change of viewpoint. Because whatever were gains to me, now consider loss. I'm afraid many of us have not experienced this. To us, many things were still gain. If you ask me to put down this to know Christ, no, I don't want that. So because you are holding on this, it's difficult for us to know Christ. And it continues, for whose sake I have lost all things. So for Paul, he realized the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, is so important. He was willingly to give up something. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So my burden is, yes, you know the Lord. Yes, you were baptized. Do you know Him? Can you say, I gained Him through this incident. I gained Christ more and more. And be found in Him. Not only gaining Christ, found in Him. What does it mean by found in Him? So let's go back a little bit backward to gain and lost. So in order to, as if to gain Christ, to win Christ, it seems that you have to give up something first. It seems that you have to let go of something in your life from you. For example, if someone offended you, you build up an anger inside, isn't it? What a rude person! What a mean person! And this anger boiling inside, growing bigger and bigger. Now, if you want to gain Christ, you have to put it down, this anger. But He hurts me. It's wrong. You hold on to this, you are right, He's wrong. You are good, He's mean. If you hold on to that, then you, I want revenge. That person deserves punishment. That person deserves death. If you hold on to this, how can Christ's forgiveness dwell in your heart? How can Christ's love fill your heart? How can you gain Christ in this incident? So if you hold on to this, you cannot gain Christ. And when be found in Him, that means you are, in other words, abide in Him. in harmony, at peace with God in your heart. Maybe when you are angry with a certain person, the Holy Spirit reminds you, you were a sinner as well. You were forgiven. Why are you holding to your brothers or sisters like that? The Holy Spirit speaks to you and you are not willing to listen, you hold on to yourself, then you lost something very important. You cannot gain Christ. You hold on to your anger, you hold on to your right, you hold on to your hurtful feeling, you hold on to the grievance inside. Or sometimes we hold on to something good. Oh, that's my right. No. That's my comfort. No. Getting up early to study God's word, getting up early to attend a meeting. No, I don't want to. I have to give up my comfort. I have to give up my time to study God's word. No. 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 So that's why all Christians, we have eternal life, but because so often when we say no, 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 then we cannot gain Christ. Is that true in your life? So can we gain Christ? It seems that He is available to all of us every day, but there's something inside you to stop you, to hold you, to draw you back. If we look at another passage in the Bible, Galatians chapter 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now notice there seems to be something there. In contrast, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I no longer live, Christ lives in me. I or Christ? You or Him? You want to gain Christ, then you must let go of yourself in order to gain Christ, in order to experience the change in your life. Look at the butterfly. How that wiggly worm metamorphoses into a beautiful butterfly. It has to let go of its previous life, isn't it? So if you won't let go, I'm sorry, after 10 years, after 30 years, 40 years, you are just the same person. But if you are willing to change, remember Keith Green? Just 7 years, his life can bear so much fruit, helping people. That is a meaningful life. Would you like your life, whole life, to be just wasting away? Or would you want God to make you a blessing to many, many people? You can choose today. You want to gain Christ? Do you? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If we look at Christ's life, actually, Christ is just like this. If we look at another passage in the Gospel of Luke, our Lord prays in Garden Gethsemane, and what is in the mind of our Lord? Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Just now when we look at Galatians, not I, but Christ. But look at Christ's life. Not my will, your will. So Christ's life is God-centered. Christ's life is, I don't care about my right. People can betray me. People can misjudge me. People can even put me on the cross. I can suffer. I can lost. I don't care about myself. I only care about God's will. This is the life of Christ. This is the beautiful life of Christ. And no, you know what? That life is in you. You can live a life like that. Not my will, but your will. Not my comfort, not my righteousness, not my right. I can give up my right. Sometimes, a few weeks ago, I started to serve at the back, inviting people to come to the front and sit. We all have our preference, isn't it? Most people don't like to sit at the front. So when I invite people, I can see their response on their face. Oh no, not me. Well, you are chosen. It is a good way to practice, not my will, but your will. You have a chance, even if you come just sitting where you were invited. There's a chance to practice, not for my comfort, not for my preference, but your will be done. So if you go on every day like this, Christ, you are gaining Christ, even in this minor event or incident. Not me, but you, not my will. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about how can we gain Christ in our service, in the meeting, at home. I don't want you to feel that talking about Christ or talking about all this spiritual thing is too abstract, too far away. It only happens inside this hall. It won't happen at your house. It won't happen outside on the road. No, it's very real. To me, serving back there, inviting people, outwardly looking, I'm just like a waitress in the restaurant, isn't it? Please wait there to be seated, and then I'll invite people to come and sit. So outwardly, I'm just like a waiter. If I am a very job-oriented person, I just think about doing a good job, I would say, come sit here. Perfect smile, and then everybody happy, I will be happy with myself, and then job is done. But yeah, maybe I'm happy, maybe brothers and sisters are happy with me, but do I gain Christ? Not necessary. I'm just doing something like a waiter. So outwardly, I may be doing something right, but inwardly, do I gain Christ? So when I serve, the Lord will cleanse me, purify me, and speaks to me. Why am I doing this? What I'm doing is not thinking about my job, just thinking about my job. I'm thinking about on the whole. I'm thinking about may the Lord bring blessing during the meeting. I invite people to sit at a good spot, hoping that they can have less distraction, not too cold, not too much distraction. They can focus easily. Imagine everyone sits at the back. Someone comes a little bit late. They have to walk up all the way. Excuse me. And then this causes a lot of distraction to the meeting. No. If the Lord is speaking through a brother, I want everybody can concentrate easily. Listen carefully. So I'm not just thinking about myself. I'm thinking about God's prepared way for the Lord. I'm thinking about the whole meeting. I want God to bless His people. That is in my heart. For example, if you are playing a a defender in a soccer team, in the Olympic, of representing Australia, are you thinking about, okay, I didn't make any mistakes, all the attackers always go to that side, I'm on the right, they always come from the left, they score a goal, it's not my business, I've done a good job, yeah, I'm perfect, I make no mistake. No, but the whole team lose. So you're not just thinking about yourself, you're thinking about the whole team, isn't it? It doesn't matter if you do a good job, you're thinking about if the whole team, Australia team, if we win, I'm happy. If we lose, even though I do a good job, so what? The whole team lose, isn't it? So if I'm a job-oriented, just thinking about I'm perfect, I've done nothing wrong, you can see I'm just thinking about myself, my glory. But if I'm in my mind, Lord reminds me, I'm not doing a job. I'm not job-oriented, I'm God-oriented. I want God to speak to His people with power. All I've done is little thing, just inviting people to sit comfortably. That's my little part, but my heart is about God's blessing on His people. This is big. So the Lord changed my mind gradually, learning to gain Christ in this way. Sometimes, you know, in our hearts, if I invite a brother or sister or someone to sit there, hey, I don't want to. In my heart, do you think I got no feeling? Sometimes I have a, because men are proud. I am proud inside. Hey, why are you not listening? I may have such feeling inside. I may have to deal with such feeling. The Lord speaks to me, hey, you want to be a commander? Every person has to listen to you because of my pride, you see? So the Lord reminds me, no, you are a servant. A servant. You should have the heart of a servant. You are serving. You are not giving command. See how proud in your heart? Then I can gain Christ. Even not during the service, not before the service, even after I serve, when there's something wrong in my heart, the Lord reminds me. Are you seeking your own glory in your service? Are you trying to please men in your service? So the Lord speaks to me and changed my heart. So I gain Christ by servicing, by service to Him. So when you're doing something good, sometimes brothers and sisters encourage you. You may turn a little bit of pride may grow in your heart. You have to deal with it. When your so-called performance is not as you expected, you feel discouraged. Oh, I've done bad. You feel discouraged, like Elijah. Oh, I performed the miracles, nobody changed. I'm so upset. God, how can this be? Blaming God. And yet God speaks to Elijah, isn't it? When he thinks himself, I'm the only one standing for you. Can you see? The Lord said to him, I got 7,000 more. You want to quit? So be it. Okay, go and anoint Elisha to take your place. So if you think you are great, you are wrong. God can raise somebody to replace you. So don't think you are that great, okay, before the Lord. But the thing is, God knows your heart. He will speak to you. No matter you feel happy or sad, discouraged, He will speak to you. And that is why He gives you eternal life, so that He can talk to you and change you into His likeness. That is the purpose. If God wants somebody to stand there, He can ask an angel carrying a fiery sword. Hey, you, sit there. Can you say no? Shoom. Your head will fall. Okay? So, God can send angels to do things much more effectively. But He wants us to serve Him. Why? God doesn't want to change angel. He wants to change you. Let me say again, He wants to change you at school, at home. But when you are doing things for Him, say if you are invited to sit somewhere you don't like, you may have an unwilling feeling. You may have say, I don't like it. You may feel that, oh, you're forcing me. Well, that's not the heart of God. God won't force people to submit to His will. Look at the here. What is the cross? The cross is not something that happened to you. The cross is you are willing to take up something even bad, denying yourself for the glory of God, for the way of the Lord. So it only counts when you are voluntarily, purposely, pick it up. There's in the book of Song of Songs, it says, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. So God won't force you until you so desire. You want to please Him. You want to follow His will. And that can be a meaningful. If you are forced to do this, you are forced to come to the meeting, you are forced to share, you are forced to sing, would God be happy? It doesn't come from your heart. It doesn't count. So if you want to gain Christ, don't feel you are forced to do something. The Holy Spirit will move you. If you follow that moves, you sing. If you follow that moves, you pray. Just to please Him. So often, after you have done that, then some force may come. Oh, I prayed. My prayer was quite good this morning. Ah, now pride's come in. My prayer was so bad. I don't know what to say. You're afraid. That's why you dare not pray in public. All these thoughts inside you, if you deal with it, it is an opportunity to gain Christ. Have you missed that opportunity to gain Christ? In my heart, as a servant, I want to serve God so that God can bless the meeting through the messages, through the gathering. God reminds me I should have the heart of the servant out of love to serve Him. So I willingly to do it, not by force, not because somebody say, you do it, then I have to do it. Willingly, gladly, I'll do it. Now I know some brothers and sisters start to serve in Sunday school as well. I don't know how do you feel about the kids. Are they all sweet angels? Not necessary, I'm afraid. Sinners give birth to sinners. You can imagine many sinners before you. Were they all sitting sweetly, listen carefully? No, not at all. What would be in your heart? Oh, you little bunch of... Now, God will speak to you. Do you love them? You will feel that, I don't have love for these people. Before, I can imagine they are sweet. Now, I realize the cruel fact. They are not angels. And now, then when you serve, you need to gain Christ, gain His love into your hearts. Because you realize, if I hold on to my anger, hold on to my righteousness, I'll punish them. I'll punish them. Maybe in your heart you try to punish them. Discipline. Order. That's in your heart, isn't it? But if I'm not saying when you gain Christ there's no discipline. There's still discipline in love. God disciplines us. You need to be firm. But in love, in Christ's love. So when we ask you to serve in the Sunday school, it's not because, oh, we are running out of people. We need help, help, help. Anyone who is willing, come, come, come. No. It is a chance to gain Christ. At home, our true self appears, isn't it? So there may be more conflict. Everybody say, assume this is my right. When you're outside, I'm a guest. But at home, you're the boss. So because there are so many bosses in your home, conflicts occurs, isn't it? So there may be a lot of unhappy feeling dwelling in your hearts. How do you deal with that? Someone misjudge you? Someone say something mean to you? Someone say something wrong about you? Of course you get angry. It's normal. When something is not right, you will get angry. But how do you deal with that anger? Let's look at another passage in the Bible, Jonah. Well, is it verse 10 as well? A bit short. Jonah is not happy about God, what God has done. The story is about, many of us know the story of Jonah, isn't it? So God asked Jonah to deliver a message to the city of Nineveh. Okay? And after 40 days, God will judge you. But God, because of his love towards the Nineveh, he didn't punish them. So after delivering the message, Jonah got really upset. Hey, God, you say you're going to punish them. How come you hold back? Now know what you have done? Now I become a false prophet because my prophecy never will come true. Now, I serve you. How can you make me like this? So Jonah was very upset, very angry. So, and God, he was sitting on the mountain, look at Nineveh and say, God, I want to see how you punish that city. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to watch. And he got angrier and angrier. And during that time, God raised a plant, growing up really fast, and covered him. Then he can enjoy the shade. Oh, now not, you know, you regret, hey? Yes. So that's why you give me a cover. But still I'm angry. And then God, use a worm to kill that plant. And God, Jonah got so upset. Ha! I thought you were standing back, Lord. But no, you're tricking me. How can you do this to me? He's got even angrier. Sometimes do you feel the same way? God seems to be playing with you. You got angrier and angrier. Now, so God said to Jonah, now this is important. When you are angry, it's a chance God is trying to catch your attention. It's a chance for you to know him. In here, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Is it right for you to be angry with brothers and sisters? Is it right for you to be angry with your family? Is it right for you to be angry with so-and-so? How come I can't see the reply of Jonah? He says, I do. Do you have the rights? I do have the rights. And then, thank God, God explained to him, you have been concerned about this plant. Oh, let me read this from my Bible. I'll read from verse 9. Listen carefully. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said.
I'm angry enough to die.
I hope this is what he expressed. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about the great city? Should I not be concerned? So God is actually telling Jonah, I'm concerning about these people. I'm concerning about even these animals. So if Jonah is willing to listen, he can put down his right and gain Christ and knowing God as God is a merciful God. If we turn back, he will welcome us and forgive our sin. So it seems that he missed a chance to understand him. But actually, it is recorded in here. I think Jonah, that message really got into him. That's why he put it down. So no matter what happens to you at school, with friends, at home, at church, at service, all your feelings, happy or not, sad or not, angry or not, disappointing or not, God always finds a chance to speak to you, purifying you so that we can become more Christ-like. And this is the purpose for knowing him. So eternal life is not just knowing him. Knowing, like a Bible quiz, oh, where was Jesus born? Oh, I know, Bethlehem. No, not knowledge about him, but know him in your life. Does God speak to you? How often does he speak to you? Did he speak to you this morning? May we find the opportunity to know him in our life. Before I finish, I would like to sing Knowing You. Or I once held dear, and that would be John 3:7, Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You.
My my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord. So with you to live and never die, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us eternal life. And we pray that we make the best of it, take every opportunity in our daily lives to know you and to gain you and to be found in you. This is our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.